Thanks very much. That's been very interesting. We do have 5 minutes for questions, so people are very welcome to come up to a microphone and ask a question, or you're also welcome to send through a text. I've just got a quick opening question for David. It sounds like you're saying standard operating procedures, which we should all be following and indoctrinating, are sometimes the cause of problems when emergencies happen, and that actually what we need is more empowerment. Is that your...
Yeah, because I can't see part of the audience, I need to stand to answer that question. I think that we need to remember why we developed SOPs. We developed SOPs around a known environment with known inputs, with known processes, with known outputs. We actually developed those to be like a sausage factory, to have standardisation so we have known outputs. That only works when you have known inputs. You don't get crisis events that cause those inputs not to match what the SOP was written for. And what we then tend to do is go, we had an expensive person in the staff used to write those SOPs, they're now written, we can now dumb down the organisation, have lower skill sets who just follow the rules, except they don't actually understand why the rules were written. They don't actually understand what the context was that they only work in. Now look at the Longford gas plant explosion down in Melbourne. Over 600 alarms went off that day, and none of those plant operators knew how the plant worked, but they knew a red light means you press a green button. And part of the actual inquiries made the point, SOPs are great when you work in a known environment. They don't work in unknowns.
Great, thanks. We've got a question up here. I might flip that to you, Mark. How do you... You said that pilots always talk in the morning before they get on the fly about what the risks are. How do you kind of create the social fabric within an organisation whereby people will talk openly and informally about the risks?
It's a... It really is leadership from the top. The risk culture has to start at the top. You have to empower people, encourage people to talk about risk. And when they talk about risk, their comments have to be met in a positive way. You can't say, go away, that's stupid. Even if it is stupid, you have to take the comments on board and encourage that feedback all the time.
Great, thanks. Jackie, we've got a question here. In the age of technology, news travels fast, presumably bad news. What are your views on reputational risk and how you can address that early on, especially with an organisation like a bank?
Yeah, and look, reputational risk is huge at the moment, and how you control the information that is out there, because it's actually very difficult to, because a lot of social media... it's people's opinions and views, as opposed to fact. And so we have like a social media command centre where we actually monitor what is being put out there on social media and have a look and decide whether it is fact. So sometimes social media can work really well for you if there's an outage or something down like that. You can get information out really quickly about this is what you need to do, but it can also cause huge issues around reputation because it's not factual, it's someone's opinion. So we do have the ability to be able to say, look, this needs to be taken down, but, you know, sometimes we treat it as feedback and say, OK, so this is how you're feeling about the situation. Let's investigate it. Maybe there's something in it. But it's very, very hard to control because it's immediate and it's out there in an instant.
We've just got time for one... Thanks, Jackie. One more question, which I might flick to David. How do you encourage people not to blindly follow rules, particularly if most of the time if you don't follow the rule, you're going to get whacked? So how do you kind of tell people when they need to change their view? Is that all about values?
Now, what we're seeing in other sectors, so I don't know much about the finance sector, is a shift away from strict SOPs to writing organisational guidelines, so that guide thinking decisions. Now, the problem is, as the writer has said here, that when you go to court and there's an inquiry, they will pull up the plan and go, but the plan says you're meant to have done this. In fact, they didn't match the situation, it wasn't quite right. It's not what they're going to be saying. They're going to be saying, it says you should have done this. So that's a real challenge, is actually providing those rules that can't change, those things which are guidelines, and in the end it's about education of staff. And one of our big challenges is, in the many sectors with the ageing workforce departing, is that you've got large groups of young employees who haven't got experience to build the guidelines as to what's the right decision outside the rule. And often organisations don't provide training in that area.
Thanks. I think it's been a fantastic discussion this morning with our three speakers, and I'll get you to give them a clap after I give you the notices. In the meantime, could you give our ERM speakers a very big round of applause?